The surprise hit documentary, March of the Penguins, also is a best-selling DVD. The documentary made over $75 million, and the DVD instantly sold out on Amazon. Another documentary, Grizzly Man, takes a different perspective on animals in the wild. Grizzly Man is a critic's favorite and comes out on DVD next week. Our critic at large, John Powers, says both films offer a fascinating contrast.
A couple of days after Hurricane Katrina, a group of L.A. firefighters who'd flown to New Orleans to help out sent back an urgent SOS. They desperately needed machetes, in part to deal with the water moccasins. My friend's 11-year-old daughter, Isabel, who owns a snake, was indignant. "Snakes aren't mean," she said. "They wouldn't hurt anybody." "Yes, they would," said her mother. "No, they wouldn't," came the stubborn reply. They went back and forth, caught up in a small version of one of the great ongoing debates. What is the nature of nature? That same argument plays itself out in two of this year's most important documentaries, Luc Jacquet's March of the Penguins and Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man. If you want to see how radically opposed visions of nature can be, just watch these two movies back-to-back on DVD. March of the Penguins had the second highest box office totals of any documentary ever made. Young Isabel saw it several times, and it's easy to understand why. For starters, the movie tells a remarkable story. Every year, the emperor penguins of the Antarctic must leave their coastal home to head inland to breed. Along the way, they battle ice, blizzards, and starvation. But they persist, goaded by some inborn imperative to do what it takes to keep the species alive. It's an incredible journey, to borrow an old Disney title, and it's worth seeing for the ravishing photography alone. But the movie's allure goes beyond the factual. For filmmaker Jacquet does more than depict the penguin's Darwinian struggle for life. He deliberately transforms it into a romantic myth. Rather than treat the birds simply as birds, Jacquet endows them with human feelings, as if they actually were wearing those tuxedos. In the original French version, actors spoke the penguins' innermost thoughts, and it was hilarious. As they yammered on about the dance of love, they sounded so much like Parisian intellectuals that you half expected them to light up a Galois. For once, the American version is more realistic. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman, whose voice makes him about the closest a human could ever come to sounding like God. But it, too, encourages us to think of penguins as being guided by human notions, like fidelity and romantic yearning. This is a love story, Freeman tells us. In the process, what's disturbing about nature, its arduous cruelties and seeming indifference, turn into something far more reassuring, a fable about family values that helps people make sense of our violent world. It's precisely such thinking that is attacked by Grizzly Man. If March of the Penguins tries to turn nature into culture, Werner Herzog's riveting film, to my mind the year's best documentary, shows us the risks of civilized man denying the barriers between himself and the wild. It tells the story of Timothy Treadwell, a failed actor turned pro-bear activist who, along with his girlfriend, was viciously killed by Alaskan grizzlies in 2003. Here, there's no godlike narrator. Much of the movie is composed of Treadwell's self-made videotapes of himself with the bears, often exquisite images that capture not only the beauty of the Alaskan wild, but also his boundless narcissism. Although he's constantly telling us that he's protecting the bears, it's not clear that he ever does anything for them. Instead, he likes to mythologize his presence among them, as in this early moment when he poses before a grizzly and addresses the camera.
"Most times I'm a kind warrior out here. Most times I am gentle. I am like a flower. I'm like a fly on the wall, observing, noncommittal, non-invasive in any way. Occasionally I am challenged, and in that case, the kind warrior must become a samurai, must become so formidable, so fearless of death, so strong that you will win. You will win. Even the bears will believe that you are more powerful. And in a sense, you must be more powerful if you are to survive in this land with the bear."
The longer we watch, the more we realize that here is a lost soul who, wounded by life in society, yearns to escape into what he sees as the innocent purity of nature. Yet even as the film reveals Treadwell's self-dramatizing delusions, it's never contemptuous of the grizzly man or of his yearnings. On the contrary, it embodies Herzog's lifelong fascination with individuals who risk themselves in pursuit of unusual ecstasies. And it accords its fallen hero a strange respect. Which isn't to say that Herzog buys Treadwell's ideas about an escape into harmonious nature. In fact, his own philosophy of life has the unremitting bleakness you might expect of one who was born in Germany during World War II and grew up amidst the post-war shambles. Near the end of the film, Herzog passes his verdict on Treadwell's vision of things. "I believe the common character of the universe is not harmony," he tells us, "but hostility, chaos, and murder." Yeesh. Talk about making life even worse than it is. I don't normally offer predictions for the new year, but I'm willing to give good odds here and now that nobody asks Werner Herzog to direct March of the Penguins 2.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.